Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
LTBAM.
I was really triggered. We don't want Johnny Sexton having any part of any Netflix curse ahead of the World Cup.
OTB AM. Live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB. Proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to episode 3 of season 3 of the Football Pod. There's only one place to start this week. Actually, no, there's two places to start. I have to put my hands up. Lads, I'm so sorry. I went skiing last week and I asked you to pre-record the podcast right before the biggest story that's ever hit the GAA happens. As Kilmacud Croaks finally win their All-Ireland title. Except they had an extra two players in the field. Are we counting the 17 players? The 16 player was the problem. Darren Mullen on the end line. This saga has rolled on, so thankfully it allowed us to start with this. Instead of talking about the National Leagues being back in a brilliant weekend of football, Paddy Andrews, we have to start with Glenn Kilmacud Croaks. Tonight, the CCCC are meeting with members of the Glenn team and the Kilmacud Croaks team. Before you jump in, how on earth have they allowed this, the GAA allowed this to rumble on for a whole week and to overshadow the leagues?
You've been away, you were away for a week, and yeah, we're probably getting to it before the GAA have finally got the finger out and started talking about this. So I hope you enjoyed the skiing holiday. It was great. Everyone was waiting to see what we thought about it. I watched the game at the time. It's 8 days ago now. We could see by Sunday evening there was going to be an issue here. That's the beauty of social media. The bit of a mix-up towards the end of the game. I think first and foremost, and it's got a lot of coverage over the course of the last week. I mean, it was a club game, and I think it was front page of national newspapers for 3 days after the match, which says a lot. And it wasn't for the quality of football. It was around the finale to the game. I just think it was a bit of a farce by last Sunday evening, and it hasn't improved in the 8 days since. And, okay, Croaks have been kind of dragged through the mud a bit. Glenn were put in a horrendous position where the GAA give them a hospital pass. They're going to say, well, it's up to you guys to appeal. We kind of hope this goes away. But the way it's been handled by the GAA from start to finish, and like I say, 8 days later, it's still nowhere near being resolved, has been an absolute farce. The only comment the GAA made on this in the first 72 hours, well, the whole country was talking about it, was to release a statement saying, we're actually not going to do anything unless Glenn appeal, i.e. hopefully you won't and this will just go away. So total farce. And that's kind of led to this being dragged out. I know there's a meeting tonight. It's not going to be resolved tonight, lads. If the GAA order a replay, Kilmacud Croaks have made their stance pretty clear. They are not going to play this game again. So I can see this rumbling on. There's probably not even a window for it to be played now that the inter-county season has started. And probably the GAA were hoping for that, that the inter-county season would kick off and everyone would kind of just forget about this. But even if a replay is ordered, I think this is going all the way to the DRA as well. But the way it's been handled, the positions both clubs have been put in, the narrative around this as well, I had a big issue with this. I thought it was completely over the top, some of the commentary around Kilmacud Croaks. I am not a Kilmacud Croaks fan. I have played against them for 20-odd years of my career here in Dublin. I've usually been beaten by them most of the time as well. But I thought some of the commentary around Kilmacud as a club was way off the mark. And it really pissed me off, and I'm sure it pissed off a lot of Dublin club people, but definitely Kilmacud Croaks people. They're a massive club. They're a really successful club. They're an unbelievably well-run club. And I think if this wasn't a Kilmacud Croaks involved, I don't think the coverage that this has gotten over the last week will be anywhere near as sensational. I think if the shoe was on the other foot, I don't think it would have been as sensational, the coverage. And I think in a way that's led to Croaks being so adamant about how they feel they've been treated, that they're actually not going to play this game again. So I had an issue with that, the type of commentary around it. Yes, there was a mix-up at the end of the game. I think that's common. I think you see it a lot, lads, and we've played in games. It's so chaotic. It's the last seconds of an All-Ireland club final. Glenn don't want to wait for anyone. They're trying to just get on. They need to score a goal. A substitution is made, and there's a mix-up there. I was in Croke Park on Saturday night for the Dublin-Kildare game and actually watched this. The same thing is happening again in a mundane National League game. Jimmy, you've come on in games. Players run onto the pitch. The only way you're being told you're coming off is the lad coming on for you to kind of hit you on the shoulder and say, get off. And the game can go on in the background. It's just such a messy, messy situation. And last Sunday in the All-Ireland Club Final was a manifestation of that. That needs to be addressed at a GAA level, or you get things like this. But it was some of the commentary that was...
I certainly agree with a lot of what you're saying. There definitely was an element of the Crokes.
100%.
In general, across the country, right? There's definitely an element of people kind of took it as a chance to have a go at them. I do disagree with you saying, and the way you're phrasing it as a mix-up. This is a lot more than a mix-up. And I'm not saying it was all in Kilmacud Crokes. Like, no. This is the last play of the game in an All-Ireland final. This is not like Dunboyne and Avon O'Mahony's, which decided last week, and thanks to the lads who sent me that on Sunday, I didn't get a chance to look at it until Tuesday. But this is like Dunboyne and Navan in 2005, replay was ordered. Clare and Offaly, a replay was ordered. I still don't know how a replay wasn't ordered for Meath and Louth in 2010. There have been replays ordered for games before where there's been massive administrative errors. And this is a systemic failure on the part of the GAA.
I agree, it's more than a mix-up. The way this was being portrayed was that this was a Kilmacud Crokes issue and they're trying to gain an unfair advantage. That is not the case.
No, I agree with that.
But there's, between the officials, the chaos at the end of a game, this type of thing can happen. And the fact that it's happened in the biggest club game is, I think it's nearly, in a way, it's a good thing because this needs to be rectified going forward across the board. I think the biggest issue and how it's dragged on so far is just a complete lack of ownership from the GAA with this.
Yeah, pathetic.
You could see on Sunday evening, this was going to drag on.
Mm-hmm.
The way with social media, the coverage it was getting, the GAA could surely see this and they come out on Monday morning. And whatever they do, if they're decisive and they say, look, we're not going to replay this game, or they turn around and say, yes, there's an issue there, the game is going to be replayed. Before the whole nation, the amount of people that came up to me who have no interest in GAA over the last week and were asking about this, once it got to that stage, the horse has bolted.
Yeah, it was shocking.
The GAA's lack of authority on this has just kind of fanned the flames.
Yeah, completely. James, if this happened in a Clary O'Donoghue club game and you lost to
O'Donoghue club,
you lost to Crokes, the O'Donoghue Cup, if you lost to Dr. Crokes and Legion were beaten, and it was last play of the game, and they bring on Gooch, and, you know, one of the other boys stays in the field, and you take your 45. Are you asking for a replay after that game?
No, realistically, you're not. No, the only thing is, you can't spin this either as if Kilmacud are the victim of it, and they're being shamed in the media. Like, let's not go that far either. I mean, they got a little bit of abuse in the media, like, but nothing crazy. Like, you know, they got hammered in a couple of places, but they're still kind of being almost patted on the back now because, oh, you've got an awful, awful doing. At the end of the day, it's just embarrassing for the GAA. I would even take the clubs out of it. I'd take Kilmacud out and I'd take Glenn out and I'd say, this is a GAA issue. Like, you can't just replay games over, like you said, an administrative error. I think that every game then is going to be question marks in it. And we've gone way too far with social media and with technology to let that happen in probably one of the most important stages of the season. Not even in these players' careers, like, that's in their whole lives. It's a massive moment. 2 minutes to go in All-Ireland final to become so loose and just let an extra fella on the field. Did it affect the result? Probably not. But it's still too loose to happen, especially in a final. It's just embarrassing. For everyone involved in GAA, it's just embarrassing. If it happened in an East Kerry Championship match, it would be embarrassing. If it happened in a Kerry game, if it happened in a Munster game, an All-Ireland final in the last minute, It's shocking.
Do you know what the big thing is as well, Jimmy? Like, this is the first goal of the split season. I think the coverage the club championships got, we were speaking the week before about junior club finals being in Croke Park and the whole country talking about it. That's been a massive positive. And the GAA have promoted this. Larry McCarthy has come out and spoken about this, that the club is the main thing and all that good stuff. I'll put that back on the GAA and say, if this was the All-Ireland Inter-County Championship final, if that was Kerry and Galway, I guarantee you by Sunday evening, the GAA would have acted. A call would have been made. They would have been forced to make some sort of response. But the fact that this was a club game, albeit the biggest club game there is in the game, they have literally just said, we're going to put our head in the sands here and hope that this will just go away.
Goes away.
Or worse, throw a hospital pass to Glenn as a club who basically backing Glenn into a corner to make up your own mind and hopefully, lads, you won't appeal and we can kind of move on with this. Yeah. Like, that alone is just what sport is run like that?
Well,
if the team wants to appeal, maybe we'll look at it, but otherwise we're not going to do anything. It's just...
It's a pathetic,
it's been a mess
state of
for 8 days, and it's not going to get any better.
Did you get the sense
Comes out tonight, this is going to drag on and on and on.
Last question on this. Did you get the sense that the Croke lads, and you know a few of them, could they enjoy their All-Ireland victory for Sunday night, Monday night?
I'd say they did, yeah.
I'd say they forgot about it after two or three points.
Yeah. I wouldn't say they were only concerned at the time, but like we were talking about it earlier, I think it does take a bit of a gloss off. I think for Glenn, there's that unknown factor as well. Like, is this over? Is it finished? Do we keep training? It's amazing to see some of the Glenn players playing with Derry at the weekend. They're kind of saying, right, just park it. Let's get on with our season. For Crokes, it does take a little bit of a shine off. I'm sure it does. I'm sure they celebrate it for a couple of days, but this kind of hanging over the whole scenario. I think the coverage across the board has put both teams, both sets of players, both clubs in really, really awkward positions.
The GAA allowed that to happen. They allowed it to happen by not acting. And I think, because who knows what's going to happen tonight? I think that a replay may actually be ordered, but I don't believe a replay is going to happen.
They're better off saying no replay, right? Take the absolute battering they're going to get, but at least nip this situation because otherwise what's going to happen is replay. Imagine the Glenn players getting into dressing room. Half of them don't want to replay, half of them do.
Yeah.
And they were, what are we doing here?
If you're in the Glenn player situation, would you want to replay?
See, it's easy for me to say from the outside. When you're so emotionally invested.
I know. But like, on the face,
some of them would be so emotionally invested that they need that other crack. Do you know when you're after losing a massive game and all you can think about is that, and you do anything to get a second chance at it, there's going to be fellas falling into that boat. From the outside, with a completely cold heart, I would say no. Do you know, I wouldn't replay it. But I'm not in the situation.
I know. That's fair.
All right, lads, we'll keep an eye on that and I'm sure it'll drag on and there will be more appeals about it. But sorry state of affairs and apologies that we weren't live last Monday with the podcast. We pre-recorded.
At least you had a good time, Tommy. Me and Jimmy were itching to get on early.
I know you were. Sorry, lads.
And you spent most of your time in your arse. Every Instagram I saw of you, you were about 4 feet under in the snow.
I was on the baby slopes as well.
No, nothing broken. Nothing broken. I was brought down a black slope on the first day. I don't know how I came out of it, but
you were
all
doing
good.
That cross-country skiing. You were just sticking the arms in and dragging yourself back up.
Hey, it's some workout for 6 days. It's unreal.
You look great there. Yeah.
Great crack, yeah. But the bike ski roll came in handy. The other big news this week, Paddy.
Yeah.
We're on the lookout for a new co-host after his calamitous. I'm only joking.
What would you say was a bigger fuck up? GAA's handling of the All Ireland Club final or James O'Donoghue's prediction on Cork winning the All Ireland Championship?
No, I never said. I said
you weren't far off, Jimmy.
I said team to watch. I said they might not be good to watch, but they'd be good. They'd be a team to watch.
I believe you were literally reeling off Cork every game of Cork season. Two points.
I must say, my whole theory did rest on them winning the first game against Meath. I must say, I was very disappointed with their effort. Now, to be fair, they kicked 19 points.
Yeah. Sherlock kicked 16, didn't he, or 14?
He got 14. But, I mean, to leave Meath score 3-14 was criminal. But, I hold my hands up. I apologise because I said there was a gimme for Cork. I was wrong. That was unfair. Isn't no, the only thing is Cillian O'Sullivan's goal. Look at that.
Just, he owns it.
Cillian O'Sullivan's goal, he took 12 steps.
No. If the ball hits the stanchion in the top corner, the steps don't matter.
Oh, so you can do what you want before that?
If the goal is good enough, if it's a dribbly little finish into the corner, blow it up. But if it's in the top corner, play on.
It had no look, effect
what
on
about Owen Merchant? What about Owen Merchant's goal against Kerry? Owen Merchant's goal against Kerry.
Back to the... If we're
talking, Tommy, this is like the game...
Cillian O'Sullivan takes 25 steps, breaks the rules... The game should be replayed. No, is that what we're going at?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, they have to make the complaint first.
So I thought he was going to get done for.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Because you could see him coming from miles out. It was like, remember Shane Walsh's goal against Cork last year in Páirc Uí Chaoimh? Whatever way the camera is up and that's that, you can just see him coming from miles out.
Yeah.
And he cuts through and I'm going, he has to at least take a hop here or solo. And because he's going so fast, the ref just kind of goes, go on. And what a finish.
Billy Merchant. Yeah.
But honest to God, I actually watched this game on TG Car YouTube, and Cork started well. And Meade were struggling. Were struggling, and I was thinking, geez, maybe Jimmy has his ducks in a row for once. And then after the first quarter, Cork just seemed to... Well, Meade got a lot better, I have to say. And it was... Meade were very good to watch, and we'll probably touch on it a bit more later on in the pod, but Cork were just too easy to play against. The long and the short of it. They were overly reliant on Sherlock's frees, which were very good, but they didn't get a whole pile else. Yeah. In turn, like Hurley was quiet enough, he came off. And look, lads, it's very early in the season as well.
That's
but just for Cork, you feel whoever lost that game in Division 2 yesterday was going to be under a bit of pressure.
Massive pressure.
And I must admit, kind of under the radar, I backed Cork to win that game as well. I didn't go big on like Jimmy that they'd win the All-Ireland. Oh,
you went big against me, Doc.
But they're... They're under pressure now. Losing that home game against Meade. And like I said, you probably think Dublin and Derry are going to be the two teams that are going to get promoted here. So Cork have an uphill task.
The thing is with that fourth and fifth place in Division 2 is Westmeath are guaranteed, right? They're in Division 3. Yeah. If they don't get into the top two in Division 3, they're going to take one of those places from Division 2, right? Mm-hmm. Also, in Connacht, you're looking at a Sligo or a Leitrim that's going to get to the kind of final there. So they're going to take another place in Division 2. So you're looking at only the top four possibly from Division 2 will make Sam Maguire. So that game was massive because Meath can now look and think, we can beat Louth, we can beat Clare maybe. You know, if we get a result against Limerick, they're probably secured.
Yeah, it was massive.
So like, without even realizing it, the first game of the league could turn out to be so
massive, isn't it? We said it last week.
Yeah, I think we knew that about Division 2, though. And you could definitely, I was in Ennis, I was in Cusick Park. I got to watch about 20 minutes of the Meath game huddle over in the corner on YouTube at halftime. But I was in Cusick Park, and lads, the finish. You remember Roscommon, Clare last year in Croke Park, the Clare comeback? Clare kicked 4 points in injury time to win this game. And their shooting boots weren't on, but a couple of young lads came in and made a huge impact. Darrell Bohannon in midfield, Emmett McMahon, who's been playing very well at Sigerson level over the last couple of years, stood up, and they actually should have scored a goal as well. Ball just went over the bar. But Jamie Malone, lads, this is what the type of player. This is the fella who's kicked three winners from the same position. Emmett
McCurdy, the two of them. Just get it to the shooters.
It's just a clutch shooter. It's just at the right time. And yeah. But it's funny. It's a real copycat score. Malone scored each of those three. It's like a sweet spot. I remember Kieran Whelan's in it before, or being told to me about that Kieran Whelan used to have a sweet spot to the right of the D. And that was his spot. And McBurty collecting that ball in the last minute against Kerry. Who did he do it against last year, the year before?
Derry.
Derry in the Ulster Championship.
He knew what he was doing. He drifted out up to onto the sideline and knew what he was doing.
If you're Kerry, and do you know what, Jimmy? Is that the inexperience that Kerry had in the pitch?
Wasn't that Morty on him, though?
The sideline, you're just thinking, anyone but him. Don't let him get this shot.
And to get the shot off from the middle, he got it was a good distance out, but it was in the middle.
Great score.
Playbook move. Yeah, no, it was.
But there's only a certain type of player who can step up in the last minute like that, like Jamie Malone and McBurty, and actually say, I'm going to win this game for us here. So it takes serious battle. Two great scores.
Did you have that role in Kerry?
There'd never be a role. It would be. It was always a case of work the best shot. But I don't know. Do I necessarily agree with that? I'd be more of where you're coming from is get the right man on it, leave him find the right spot.
His sweet spot.
The players will know themselves, or players should know themselves, there's two or three clutch shooters. And those players themselves will know, I need to get myself into a position where I can receive this ball. And you can see it with McBrady starts that he's on the sideline. He's actually one foot is probably off the pitch. But he's thinking, how do I get on the end of this?
Yeah.
And you know what? It comes, having done it once or twice before, that gives you the confidence. Like, if that's a younger guy coming up the pitch, he's not taking that shot. Like, we touched, remember Derry lost to Donegal?
Yeah.
And they had the ball for 2 or 3 minutes at the end, and they probably had one or two chances to take a shot. It just wasn't the right guy on it. That can happen as well. But when you've got someone like McBrearty who has history of doing this type of thing, the second he wants that shot, and Jamie Malone as well, he's done it in the biggest games.
It's class.
He gets the opportunity, he's pulling the trigger. There's no doubt in their head. Like, there's no, they don't see the downside. If they miss, they're well able to say, well, I've done it before, to the coaches, the players, or anyone else. But to see it on the first weekend, and bear in mind, lads, we always say this time here, shit conditions, like hard conditions to kick scores, and they were massive. And for Donegal in particular, that is it. Donegal and Clare, they are massive wins,
huge
in the schemes of their seasons, where they're at, where their groups are at as a team.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought TG Cahir, we're going to have that drippy camera for the whole game again for Kerry Donegal. They shook off the rain there.
Change where the camera is in Ballybuffet. You can't have it on the open side. Like, there's going to be a gale force wind. It's going to be pissing down. Same with Castlebar Saturday night. Nothing sure of it. There's going to be wind and rain there. Just put it in the stand side. Have it covered. Like, makes it easier.
Yeah. Not to hammer the GA again, but I might here. on the day they announced the €20 million surplus in Croke Park for last year with the Garth Brooks concerts, Peter McKenna came out and said that they're going to have to look at the All-Ireland Club Finals being played in Croke Park. And I just thought that was remarkable when we went and watched Dublin, Kildare and Croke Park on Saturday. Not even for the fact that...
The atmosphere there was.
The atmosphere is just so shocking. Yeah. But Desi Farrell even comes out afterwards and says, it was great to get the lads, some of the younger lads playing in Croker. They're actually openly saying now that they want their games in Croke Park to get accustomed to playing in Croke Park. Ah, I don't know.
I was at that game.
What was the atmosphere like, Paddy?
What was the atmosphere like?
Yeah.
We spoke about this so many times. I think the official attendance was what? 16,000 maybe? 15,000? Yeah. It wasn't a great game, lads. So that didn't help. But like 16,000 at Croke Park, a cold night in January, that game does not need to be played there.
If you're in a 15,000 capacity place.
And okay, Castlebar straight after you. Castlebar. Incredible.
Yeah. Chalk and cheese.
Why?
There was maybe 13, 14,000 in Castlebar. Look, it was a much better game. But the atmosphere at that, I watched that in the telly, you could see, you get the sense of it. But in Croke Park, like, the game wasn't great. You always kind of say what happens on the pitch can feed into the stand and create that. But even if it was one of the greatest games January had ever seen, just 16,000 people at Croke Park, you are not going to get a good atmosphere on it. The pitch is in bits. Like, seeing it firsthand, I've never ever seen it as bad. It could do with a break. I think Dublin play Clare there as well in the National Football League game next month.
But the crowd feed the players. The players feed the crowd. You take one out, you know, it's just not right.
The game itself was, like, Dublin put out a pretty strong team, and I think you'll see that through the National League for them, that they have the spine. They probably have 10 or 11 of the big guns playing, and the usual then trying to pick up two or three guys along the way. Like, it probably worked to an extent last year, even though they were relegated. They got Lee Gannon and Lorcan O'Dell out of them, who both saw championship action. They had young McEnany playing at the weekend from Skerries. He came in. Ross McGarry as well. I think it's a good approach, I suppose, that you have your main guys and you have two or three guys to come in, and it's a lot easier for them to impress. They were saying that on Saturday. Look, it wasn't a very good performance by Dublin. But I think what you'll see throughout the Division 2 campaign is they'll have strong teams out and they'll be trying to find two or three players along with them. But I was surprised. I expected more from Dublin. I thought when I seen the team in particular, I thought this was going to be, and particularly with Fenton's goal early.
Great goal.
This could be a real statement performance, but just very rusty, some bad misses. The type of thing you see in January, to be fair. But they'll be looking for big, big improvements going forward over the next couple of weeks, because it definitely wasn't a marker that, that he would have been hoping to put down.
Looked like it's been all running and conditioning in January, James, for the Dubs, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. Like, it looked like they had done no shooting at the posts, you know, because they had so many chances of tip over scores. It actually happened in the Kerry game as well, that a few of them had, had chances and missed easy ones. But I think the Kerry probably done a bit more ball. But I don't know. There's obviously different ways you can do the training in the winter period. But I reckon they've just done all physical stuff.
And you know what, Jimmy?
The sharpness was just not at all there.
For January conditions, that wasn't an excuse in Croke Park on Saturday night. Like, there was a little bit of drizzle before the game. There wasn't much wind. It wasn't that cold. It wasn't comparative with what you see in the Ballybuffet yesterday with gale force winds around Hyde Park for the Roscommon Tyrone Met. So normally that could be seen as a bit of an excuse in early National League games, but that wasn't the case. It was just, there were some bad, bad misses. Uncharacteristic as well. I mean, Conor O'Callaghan, brilliant to see him back, and everyone in Dublin is hoping this guy can just stay fit. He's a couple of misses, you're thinking, he'd normally put him over to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Towards the end of the game, Costello, O'Gara, Killian O'Gara comes on, Lee Gannon himself.
Lehif threw an outside of the right at one.
That
between the corner flag and
that just should not have been kind of a shot at all. Never mind, that just wasn't on. But look, you're going to see that, and you've seen that across the whole game with lots of teams. It is still early in the season. But
par for the course this time of year.
But for Dublin, there's a lot of areas that they're going to have to work on throughout.
All right. Yeah, let's come back with some of the more exciting and interesting bits from the weekend. You are listening to episode 3 of season 3 of the Football Pod. It is brought to you every week by AIB, proud sponsor of the GAA Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Just to run you through the results from the weekend, Donegal 13 points, Kerry 1-9, Roscommon 3-11, the Rossies. They had a great start.
That's wrong here, lads.
3-11 to 1-12.
Predictions are running aground already after week one.
Yeah, it was scary actually looking at our predictions. I'll read them out later on how we got on.
I did back Donegal though.
You did?
Did you?
I did, yeah. I'm saying I never backed them. I backed them and I was very worried at halftime that they'd done it to me again. But they came good in the end.
Yeah, you backed them. Donegal on paper you thought looked better. Clare 13 points, as we mentioned. Loud 1-9. Mickey Hart was raging after the game. There's 7 minutes injury time. Now there were a couple of injuries. Loud got a couple of bad injuries in the game. So kind of felt like that. I think 6 was put up. And that last play came maybe 6:30 in, but that's how that one went. Cork 19 points, Meath 3-14. Very high scoring game on Parky Queeve. Derry bet Limerick by 12 points, 16 points to 4. And the Dubs bet Kildare by a point, 111 to 13. Down in a big win in against Tipperary in Seppel Stadium, 211 to 111. Word emerged that night that Jim McGuinness had been added to the down backroom team, but Conor Laverty has since come out to clarify that McGuinness was at a training session on the Tuesday and will be involved in a couple of sessions across the year, but he is not a part of the down backroom team. But lads, you laughed at me last week when I said down Donegal on April 24th. Keep an eye out for that one. Fermanagh, good win against Longford, 15 points to 9. Cavan bet Westmeath, 12 points to 1-6. Offaly got a good start against Andy McIntyre's Antrim.
Oh boys.
12. Leitrim, top of Division 4. 3-18 to 11 points against Waterford. They were down at halftime. They came back and they won. Leash and Billy Sheehan got a big win against Tony McIntyre Sligo. 2-11 to 11 points.
Well, wasn't it?
Great win for Leash.
Yeah.
A big win for Leash.
Big win for Leash.
Yeah, big win for Leash.
Next weekend, Tony McIntyre and Sligo take on Oisín McConville and Wicklow, which will be a very interesting game after Wicklow let a late lead slip against Carlow to draw 2-10 apiece. And London and Wexford drew 1-9 apiece.
Very harsh red card in that Carlow game. For the wing
two yellows.
Yeah, never a yellow the second one. Unless he was after totting up. I didn't see the game, only saw the highlights. But if he was totting up fouls, fair enough. But if that was a yellow card.
Yeah, he wasn't happy. Threw a kick at the wall.
A good kick, yeah.
I love seeing that.
I love that as well. Yeah.
All right, lads.
Six stud as well.
We're coming back after this. I want to ask you a bit about the direct football that we saw at the weekend. We'll be back right after this.
He's on the main buzz already. Look at him.
All right, you're very welcome back to episode 3 of the Football Pod, and we're starting with Meath. James, I'd say your Twitter handle was hopping at the weekend. All the Royals right in force. It's great to see it. It's like the United fans. They're all back now talking. And
they're all out of the woodwork, the Royals. Didn't know half of them had Twitter.
Exactly.
So, they're very sensitive, in fairness to Meath, though. Huh?
Check it. There must be a delay with the AIB transfer to...
I revoluted you a tenner.
Oh, did you? I didn't check it yet. Oh, brilliant. I have to put that
I want
up.
Proof, Tommy. I want proof.
I'll tweet it. Good stuff.
Actually, sorry. Did you bet a tenner with me that Kildare beat Dublin as well? Send it across.
I'd have to listen back to that.
Play the clip. Jimmy, you'll be broke.
Hang on. I was very nearly right about... I didn't know that Daniel Flynn wasn't playing there. What happened to Flynn?
I don't know for sure. I think he's picked up a bit of an injury. I don't know for sure.
No McCormack, Feely, Flynn.
Feely's come back, lads. That man's come back from injury has been nothing short of remarkable. So fair play to him. Great to see him back in a pitch. Really quick turnaround from his injury that he got last year. Okay. Yeah. Quickly, we'll come back to our wee bets, our little wagers later on. I want to ask about direct football because Colin Moore was talking a big game in January in the O'Byrne Cup, in the first week of January, saying that we are not reinventing the wheel. As I mentioned before, we are doing what Kerry do, what Dublin do, what Galway do. We're kicking the ball, we're kicking it along. He has, I think, 7 debutants made their starts at the weekend. They have big men in midfield, a couple of big men in defence. Matthew Costlow, who's a big enough man playing full forward. It felt like a real old school game of football. Bit of rawness. Loads of goal chances at the weekend. Did you see positives and a new direct style of football from Meath? Paddy, you watched this game closely.
Yeah, I did. Like in terms of what Meath would have wanted from that first game, it couldn't have gone much better. Obviously, picking up the 2 points, and we said earlier, it eases a bit of pressure in terms of the Division 2 battle and where you're going to end up coming into the summer. But it was very, very noticeable. Meath were trying to play in the front foot, and not just in their kick passing from defence, from midfield, on kickouts, Cork's kickouts. So, Meath Marin's looking to go long all the time, and Meath are pushing up all over the pitch. We've always said this on the pod, that you have to be brave. That's the first stage. And yes, Colin O'Rourke easily could have said, no, let's concede a kickout, let's be really hard to beat, let's play at the back. But that's not his style. You knew that wasn't going to be his style. But it's also, it's the right approach if you want to be successful. Maybe not this year, but they're on the right track. So you could see that they were being brave. They were probably caught a couple of times in the first half.
Yeah.
Ian McGuire and O'Callaghan in midfield for Cork. When they won those long kickouts, Cork butchered a couple of goal chances themselves. Matty Taylor was coming through. So look, they were a bit open. But in terms of a first out, you could definitely see they're trying to play in the front foot and the kick passing inside. Again, there was loads of times where it didn't really come off, but it was a clear directive. And to be honest, the big thing with Meade, and me and Jimmy, we've spoke about this, there's no point kicking the ball in all the time if you don't have guys in there that are going to get on the end of things. And the biggest plus you could see for Meade is we know Jordan Morris has loads of talent. Killian O'Sullivan, to be fair to him, has kind of shown that burden as being one of Meade's most dangerous forwards for the last 5 or 6 years. Playing it in the half forward line. But Matthew Costello was very impressive yesterday, and Shane Walsh was outstanding. Kick 1-7, 1-5 from play. But just those three guys inside, Morris, Walsh, and Costello, there's a scoring threat there. You know, so it just makes sense. If you have the ball out the pitch, you should be looking inside from. So for O'Rourke, it's an easy sell for him to the players go, I want to move this ball direct. I want to get the ball in as fast as we can because we have three guys who are going to get scores.
Yeah.
And Jordan Morris, to be fair to him, probably didn't have his most accurate day in front of the post. It was more like Shane Walsh was probably the standout guy. But we know he has loads of talent. And we know Killian O'Sullivan can chip in with scores as well.
And actually, the two half-forwards that are starting now, to me, this was a big statement. Darragh Campion and Jason Scully, they're footballers. Meath are starting with 6 footballers. So not players dropping back as defenders or players that are there for their size. Campion and Scully are kick passers, and they actually showed that in the second half too.
That's what we're saying. Now, look, they're not the finished article.
No.
And that may cause them against better teams in terms of, like say, Cork broke through them worryingly easy at times, particularly that first quarter. Cork were really dominant, and you think, geez, this could be a bad day for Meade, but they managed to turn it around. You know there's going to be energy and fight in me. That was one of the key aspects I'd imagine of appointing someone like Colm O'Rourke, a legend in the county. But you can see it in their style of play. They have players and they're playing to those strengths. The issue I feel for them is defensively, I think they might be up against it. And that's the risk and reward that, okay, it's in one way, it's very admirable to have 6 scoring forwards up the pitch and we're going to kick the ball and we're going to do all of those things. They'll need to get their house in order at the back as well. I think they could face big challenges when they come against Dublin and Derry in this campaign. But as a starting point, the style of kicking the ball, having really accurate, having scorers inside the full forward line, that was the big plus for me yesterday. And like I say, it's a first day out. It couldn't have gone much better for Colm O'Rourke.
James, it was a statement of intent from the throw-in where Mead win it and there's a ball bombed into the full forward line. That one didn't work out. It went over the end line. But Mead's
that
first
one,
score...
The first one never works out. We used to do that as well. But we say first ball, we'll lob it in. Never win that one.
Never.
That's the one I wouldn't put in, the first one.
Well,
but you know, it's so it's the last thing you hear in the dressing room before you go out. It's like, what are we doing first play? Lodge it.
Bomb it in. But their first goal comes from three kick passes.
Yeah. Well, I used to always say, if you would get two kick passes in a move, it's almost guaranteed, and they're secured, it's almost guaranteed to score because it's moved so fast that the defense can't get back. It's a no-brainer. But as you said, you need the skillful fellas. But you mentioned the two half-forwards. Half-forwards, they're getting a bit of an easy ride, I reckon, at the moment. That, like, you can if you can do nothing at all, you're kind of a half-forward. Do you know that kind of way?
Run up and down.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, run up and down
and have no impact.
Yeah, like... I think you should almost be putting some of your strongest ballers there because they're the ones actually impacting the game, getting on the ball and able to move it. You can actually, if you're strong down the sides, like Dublin were always so strong with Flynn and Scully, you know, like these fellas are getting on the ball and putting it in. If you just have two workhorses doing nothing, it doesn't help you play that way. But I will say about Mead, right, they're kicking a lot of ball and they're kicking a lot away. But still, that's the first step of this.
Yeah,
you know, you have to start somewhere. And then as you go on, your relationships improve, your kicking improves, your catching improves. You know what everyone's going to do. And if you saw Cork, I think the game changed and Maguire got turned over in the middle of the field for the goal. Jerry Maguire got turned over.
A lot of turnovers.
But say, it was for the Pam goal, wasn't it? Maguire was turned over for the Pam to goal. Yeah. But say... If you're kicking the ball and you're kicking into full forward line, you're not getting turned over in that area of the field because you're not running it through those lines. Like Cork were kind of head down, running through there, getting turned over. Next thing the ball is coming back the other side. If you can just kick it through those areas, not get turned over in the dangerous places, like you will give away some ball, but at least it's up the other end of the field.
Yeah.
I think we always have it with Dublin on that note that, yeah, it was not the goal, but you cannot give the ball away around the middle third, particularly against the top teams, because you're just going to be, at minimum, it's a point.
Goal chance. Yeah, it's a goal chance.
At least it's a goal chance. But we would say, like aggressive turnovers, we don't mind turning the ball over in the full forward line. Mm-hmm. If we're trying a 50-yard kick pass and we lose it, we don't win it inside their 21, there's no issue with that. We've enough time to get bodies set, but that was the risk you had to take, that we're going to try and probe and back your inside forwards to win the ball. So it's an aggressive turnover. That's not an issue. And you can see that with Mead, and I guarantee you're going to see it throughout the National League, that they'll keep trying those things and they'll get better at it. Like I say, that's a first outing. Every team is going to get better from what we've seen at the weekend. But what you're really looking for all the teams over the first weekend is, what are they doing new? What is a new coach with 14 new coaches in? What are they trying to do differently from previously? What new players are in? And what style of play is new? And Mead were one of the most obvious examples of, okay, they're changing the style of play that they've had in recent years, and they're kicking the ball, and they've got forwards who can take advantage of it.
Yeah.
There's a couple other teams who are trying a couple of different things, but for Mead, it was one of the most obvious examples. And for Cork, on the other side of it, you say they start really well. We know Sherlock, if he gets space, he's going to nail his frees. One of the best free takers in the country. Cork are probably, in terms of their kickouts, they're trying to go long. Nearly every kickout, Leo Martin is going long. And if they win them, they're dangerous. Manny Taylor's coming on the burst. But after that, there was nothing really else from Cork.
How do you see it going next? We mentioned how important these games are. It's Cork in Newbridge against Kildare next Sunday. A crucial game for both teams. Jack Robinson impressed you the other night?
Yeah, and we didn't touch on Kildare. Kildare weren't bad against Dublin. They could feel hard done, but they probably didn't get out of the game. I would back them in Newbridge to win that game. That is a big advantage for Kildare. They have a brilliant record in Newbridge. It suits them. And for Cork, if you lose that game, if you're going 0-2, over the first two weekends, you are up against it. It's a massive game for both counties.
Huge.
The first weekend of February.
If they'd beaten Meath, they'd almost have a shot to nothing against Kildare. Yeah. You know, it'd be pressure off. Now they're going up there under pressure. But Newbridge, it's an incredibly hard place to go, right? But for some reason, you think that Cork Cork will nearly be okay up there. Do you know, they won't. It's so small and tight that they'll be able to kind of get bodies back and fix a few of those defensive frailties that they had. Like, they were getting bodies back against Meath, but they just weren't anywhere near the right place. They were too far out or too deep. They just weren't getting into the right places. There, you can almost fix them in a meeting. Do you know, you should be here, or your fullback, you need to talk to him more. You need to say this. And you'd be surprised how quickly those things come. But I'd rather see Cork play in a small field in Newbridge than, let's just say, somewhere like Croke Park next week, because I think they'd be opened up.
That's interesting. The other games in Division 2, Meath take on Clare and Park Tolton, but with a win apiece. Loud welcome Derry to RD. That'll be a tough challenge for Loud. Loud put a huge press on the Clare kickout after a score. Even their keeper, Declan Byrne, was up. And then they dropped everyone back behind the ball. So it'll be interesting to see whether Derry get the same joy they did against
Limerick. Probably won't be a great watch, I would have felt. Derry and Loud.
Don't think so. Looking at Division 1, the Rossies, as we mentioned earlier on, a huge win. Probably weren't talked about too much in the build-up to last week. We all backed Tyrone. We all thought that Tyrone would come back with a bit of a vengeance. They didn't. Roscommon took over in the last 15, 20 minutes. Enda Smith's delicious pass.
Wow, it was beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous. Ben O'Carroll's debut. 1-2, a fellow who's been flying at Sigerson level as well. So the Rossies are getting a couple of young players through, and that was a good start for Davy Burke. Next week, just
on a tee, like Tyrone in the second half, there's gale force wind, horrendous wind to play against, and Tyrone are 3 points down at half time, and they turn it around straight away after the break. They get the goal, McGeer
level,
and you think
they went up one.
Yeah, and like Tyrone are, they're home and hose now. They're gonna kick on. But they conceded the goal and they seemed to panic then, which is so unlike them. There was loads of time to get this back and they had the wind. McCurry had come in and was kicking scores. And you just think they're an experienced team. They've got experience through the whole spine of the team. And for them to lose the game the way they did, I was very surprised with that more than anything. Yes, it's a brilliant win for Roscommon. Like, they're going to be up against to try and pick up points in Division 1, but that's a brilliant start for them. But for Tyrone, that was just, it was a worrying thing. And do you know what I thought was odd as well? McShane starts in the first half. And Jimmy, you'll know this, Tommy, yourself. If you're playing in full forward line and you're playing against the gale force wind, that's a hard slog. Mm. You're not going to get many kick passes in. You're not going to get many shots off. So you're calling McShane and going, right, fuck. Just put the shoulder to the wheel here and I get a few shots in the second half. And they take him off at halftime.
Yeah.
For McCurry. And I go, I don't think there was an injury. I might be wrong. But if I'm calling McShane, I'm going, hot lads. Tyrone know he is going to be a key player for them. If they're going to get it anywhere near back to the level that they got in winning the All-Ireland 2 years ago, they need McShane. And I'm sure he's done so much work over the winter to get back and be ready for this season. And he's thinking, right, second half, I'll start getting kick passes in. I'll start getting a couple of shots off. And he's whipped off at halftime. I just thought that was I couldn't believe it when I seen it.
But
if McCurry comes on, the first two balls, he gets straight over the bar. And McShane is sitting there. I've been in that position where you come off and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
But McCurry is outstanding. I agree, though, that, like, taking off McShane, if you're thinking, this fella, I remember we talked about McFadden with Donegal before. If this fella is going to be one of your key players, Build him up. Give him as much confidence as you can. Tell him he's brilliant. But if you whip a fella off, if you whip a corner forward off at halftime, honestly, corner forwards are the most sensitive souls at times. Like, all they need a bit of love. They'd be told how good they are. As soon as you tell them they're shite by taking them off, like,
well, that was conditions. Really lose it. He wasn't gonna be able to do anything in the first half. You could only kick the ball into that breeze.
Yeah. Yeah.
How frustrating is that for him? And just surprised. Maybe there's an injury we might be up, but it didn't look like that. But yeah, for Tyrone, I backed Tyrone last week as well. We need to scrap the predictions, lads. Jesus Christ, we've got off the bat there.
Not going well.
I liked a bit of jeopardy with them. I think we'll be going with them again. I'm winning 5-4-3, I think. Mayo Galway, lads. James. Ryan O'Donoghue has returned fresh. Looking good. Kicked 6 points at the weekend. He is the leader that Mayo need him to be. Killian O'Connor comes off the bench. Tell me what you thought of O'Connor. I thought he looked as good as he did maybe pre-injury.
Good score. It's a great score.
It's hard to tell. I mean, first league game, tough conditions, brutally cold weather, unbelievable intensity. You need a cool, calm head there. I think Ryan O'Donoghue and Killian had that. You know, like, you don't want a fella running around the place, getting bait around and not doing the right thing, not taking the right option. You need to have the right, you need to have the right kind of intelligence in those games just to tip away your scores when they come. But like, I'm still not sure about Mayo 100%. I was actually expecting more from them.
Why?
I don't, because they're always all at it and intensity, and we're probably touching their tackling. You know, they both teams had 90 odd tackles each, which is incredible work. Right?
Some intensity for January. Yeah, wasn't it?
That is fantastic. Okay, but you need a little bit more than that. And I just think it was all hustle and bustle, but not that much kind of creativity or class or nothing different. A lot of their forwards didn't really have the beating of their men. They weren't getting nice shots off. They were relying on scores kind of off the cuff. I thought the McStay would be bringing something kind of recognizable, something a bit cuter to the table, but maybe they just haven't got it yet, but it didn't look like they were there yet. Well, and you think that Galway, when Galway gets Shane Walsh back, like that's such an addition. Do you know, he can kind of dictate all that, but Mayo don't seem to have that type of player. They all have to row in a bit more, but they don't have it at the moment.
Jimmy, I agree. I was impressed by Galway, and we said it last week. I think Galway are the best team in Connacht, and nothing changed from that at the weekend. Yeah. I'd be conscious of, again, it's January. It's all the teams are going to get better. There's rustiness across the board for all the teams. And for Mayo, the talk seems to be that McStay is going to bring this kicking game in. He's going to kick the ball more, and they're going to try and move away from that traditional over the last decade. You see Mayo running the ball from everywhere. Galway are a very hard team to do that against, because they get lots of bodies back. And the Galway defensive system that we've seen last year, it looked really good the other night as well. You know, Daly at centre back, Sean Kelly, they've just gotten more comfortable in it. I was really impressed with Galway. They'd be disappointed they didn't get the win in the end. They're probably
I don't think the Mayo forwards up any, like,
no,
ask any questions of it.
But lads, can we talk about this for a second? Like, we mentioned earlier on, O'Rourke starting with six footballers as forwards. Jack Kearney is a middle third player. Bob Toohey is a middle third player. Jordan Flynn played most of the game around midfield. Ruan and O'Connor, they're all around the middle third. They're huge men. They're massive. Yeah. And that's what, I know there's a lot of talk about McStay changing it up, and maybe now's not the time to do it, but he certainly didn't start that way.
No, and I didn't see Anthony from Mayo. That's the thing.
Yeah. I love adding up, right? If I see a team on paper, I go, where are the scores coming from here? How many are we going to get? And like, You couldn't add a big score together for Mayo. You know, unless you're getting a Keegan laid on who's going to get a goal, or like, you're just not adding up a score that's going to cause any damage to the opposition at the moment.
Well, Paul Towie was top scorer in the championship last year, and he came in for the last 30 seconds. So, you know, there's high hopes for Aidan Norm in the county. I don't know if he's going to shoot the lights out ever. James Carr has produced these incredible moments, but consistency-wise, I don't know whether Carr will be that footballer you're talking about. Tommy Conroy is going to come back. I don't know if he's a 7 or 8 points a game man. Killian,
they need a good, we said half forward, Sam. They need a 10 and a 12 who are actually going to dictate the play, chip in with a couple of points and kick it, because at the moment they just don't have that threat.
You look at James Carr's goal, I have to talk about that. What an unbelievable strike. But he's done that before, and he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's clear, he's aggressive, he seems to go for goal. His two balls drop short outside of that, and no real other impact on the game. Yeah. And if you're looking at Mayo, that you're crying out for some. Ryan O'Donoghue, they've got him. You can hang your hat on him. He's going to kick scores. Killian, we know, I think he's going to have a big season for them. But they need other guys with them. It's going to be the same issue down the stretch again. Like James has said, whether it's McStay in charge, Rochford, James Horney, whatever it is, Mayo are going to work hard. They're going to be physical. They're going to be in your face. But I don't know if Orm is the guy that's going to kick scores. I don't know if James Carr, there's something there, but how can he turn into a killer where, yes, he gets a wonder goal, but he's clipping 2 or 3 points with it.
Yeah.
And these that's guys it. Have been around. They've played games. This is not like their first rodeo, and you're just not seeing it yet. Yeah. And that's for McStay or for Mayo. That is the issue. That is the crux of the matter. Whatever. Okay, losing Keegan,
losing
deal
Mullen
with that.
Oshie Mullen.
The issue hasn't been their offensive guys running up the pitch. They need killers up front. Yeah.
But they only need Paddy. They only need two. Say if you were the wing forward.
I know.
But say you're the wing forward, and you're thinking, I'm going to get into position here.
I'm going to score two points for play. That type of thing. Yeah.
Give me 2 points. And whatever your focus was, it was getting 10 tackles, whatever. Get 6 tackles and get 2 shots. Like, whatever the thinking is, they just need to put more emphasis on getting a decent shot at the ball.
We used to have it with Jim, and it was that thing. Everyone had to work hard. But the bottom line, if you're in one of the 6 forward positions, you've got to score. Mm-hmm. Even if you're 10 and 12, and exactly, if you don't work hard, you're off. But there was no kind of, if you get a load of tackles, that's all right. It was,
not enough.
You have to score. You have to get one, at least have, if I'm even playing wing forward, I want 2 shots at the post, minimum.
Yeah.
Even if I'm doing all the donkey work alongside it. And you're right, Jimmy, it's not just a Mayo thing. I think the wing forward position is kind of, I'm back in my half-back line, and I'm winning breaks.
Couple.
Got to try and contribute to the scoreboard. We said it on the WhatsApp, we were laughing. We said about Kerry as well. They're going, where are the scores coming there? And I just think, as good as Ryan O'Donoghue was, and to get him back in the mix, and like a sharp Killian O'Connor, I think Mayo, they has to find someone else.
Yeah.
I don't think Ryan O'Donoghue can carry that can on his own.
No,
we can't.
No.
It'll be the same. It'll be an All-Ireland quarterfinal. You might nick a Connacht on the sly, but...
Yeah, but he'll
issue is
to be fair to Max Day, it is Castlebar under lights. It's still January. Galway are in town. Maybe that dream management team just went horses for courses, you know? And maybe that's what they went. We need intensity. We need tackles. And it'll be enough for now.
I did thoroughly enjoy his post-match interview.
I didn't pick up on this one.
It was just like, he was loving it. It was just such a positive outlook. Great game. Great to be back. Clearly, he hadn't been drowned out by 10 years being a manager and just being dour. He's come from working in the media. It was just a positive, nearly infectious interview, even though it probably wasn't the best result for me. Would have liked to win the game, but I just thought that was an interesting take to see a manager come on and be all smiles. And usually it's pretty dour stuff.
But you'd wonder, did he... has he picked up on that from Horan that, you know, he needs to get the supporters right behind them? Maybe, he needs to be positive, get them around, get something going there. But the only way to get the crowd behind you is to play attacking, kick points. Like, there's only so much cheering you can do at a turnover.
Spoken like a true quarter forward.
The Mayo fans do love a good turnover, though, in fairness.
For Galway, though, I was texting into the group during the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with them. And James is right. Like, they're missing Shane Walsh, who's obviously arguably their best player, along with Comer. Liam Silk is away. Kieran Malloy is obviously injured.
Yeah.
They're big players for them. But you could just see they look comfortable in that defensive shape. Peter Cook is going to be a big addition for them.
Yeah, massive. Massive.
He's got skills.
Bit of class.
He's got skills. He's a big guy. And he's smart on the ball. It's easy for someone that's been out of the scene to come back in and try and nearly like an accusation make it now and just be a million miles an hour. He was very calm. Kicks a beautiful free, but he's a very good footballer. He is going to complement that Galway attack. Comer was brilliant after a quiet All-Ireland final, which we spoke about. He had an excellent game. The next stage for Galway, and Pádraic Joyce touched on it at the end, they are one of the top teams now. The next stage of that is controlling games. And coming down the stretch, they had a couple of opportunities to win that game. The last play, I think it was Kyle Sweeney kicking that ball away. For Killian O'Connor's point, I think it's actually Peter Cook gets turned over. They're the clutch moments that's the next stage of going to being the top team. Not just being in the conversation where Galway are in All-Ireland semi-final or final in 5 or 6 months' time, and they're managing those situations a bit better. I'm sure they'll spend a lot of time looking through those plays this week and going, we can't allow that to happen in the biggest games. So that's a frustrating thing for them. But a lot of the other stuff we've seen from Galway, I was impressed with them, I have to say.
Hey, not the worst conversation to be having on the first week.
Exactly. It shows where they've come. Shows where they've come in the space of really the last kind of 12 to 18 months.
You'd put them number one really now in the league, wouldn't you? Go away, like.
They're not going to have Walsh. Apparently, they're not going to have Walsh for a couple of weeks.
Armagh got a win as well. I think we touched on it quickly. Monaghan, I think Monaghan.
Area of Armagh at home. Like,
yeah,
I think Monaghan carrier away to Galway.
To be honest, yeah. I thought Monaghan would probably go down, and to be honest, I was looking at between Donegal and Roscommon to go with them. So that's with two massive wins for Donegal and Roscommon, but for Monaghan, Rory Beggan, did you see it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Not ideal. Not an ideal start to the season. Whatever about the kick out, but the fumble as well. You just think Monaghan are going to be up against it.
He was due one. In fairness, he's so reliable, isn't he? He's had he's been sensational.
Yeah.
Yes, and there was a big focus put on Rafferty as well. Rafferty had some brilliant moments. Some brilliant moments. Even the pass. Do you see the pass where he was involved four times to highlight it on the...
We spoke about this last year, lad. Ethan Rafferty has given other players ideas. He's very good at it. He's an outfield player. He plays it so well and adds to the attack going forward. He goes forward and he makes plays. I saw Conor Gleeson coming out a couple of times at Castlebar, and I was like, oh, my heart. If I was a Galway fan, I'd be having a stroke on the sideline. He just doesn't look as comfortable. Or on Lynch, we've seen it with Derry as well. I think we'll see it a lot through the league and into the Championship as well, but Ethan Rafferty is different gravy at it.
But this is a man who played 10 years outfield. That's the thing.
That locker. Not all the other goalkeepers have that.
No,
but if Armagh were to win something, like, that would take off at club level as well.
Oh yeah,
like it's gonna take off at some stage. It just needs a team to win, because everyone copies the winners. Do you know?
Yeah.
Everyone does whatever the winning team has done. You say, look what they're doing, we'll do that. If Armagh win something, it'll take off.
Shane Murphy will come sprinting out of goal with Kerry. He's an outfield player.
Well, Shane Ryan.
Shane Ryan could.
In Kerry, if he starts soloing up the pitch.
Kerry, you're very traditional like that. You nearly be.
I think
people would string him up if he started doing that. And him, an outfield player as well. Like.
He's serious outfield player. Like.
I know, it's the club final. Yeah. Maybe the same in Dublin. I can't see Evan.
David O'Hanlon had a good game. Good to see. Next Sunday, lads, Kerry Monaghan and Armagh Mayo are the doubleheader that'll be live in Teach Car. So it'll give us a nice chance to talk about Armagh and talk about Kerry as well as Monaghan and Mayo once more. Just finally, James, Kerry, when you saw the team sheet, no Cliffords. Paul Murphy played, didn't he, after Ratmore's?
Big scores as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, two great points. Paul was on honeymoon with Michelle, his wife. So
I read that wrong. I thought somebody else
had a bit of a break, say, during the season. So I'd say he might have just wanted to get back in.
Okay. Oh, he did play. All right. So I had that.
Yeah, he did play. Played well.
Darryl Roach is somebody you played with East Kerry in your run to the county championship.
He'll be delighted.
Yeah. Kick some nice scores.
Got three from play. Got one great score. We're talking about taking men on. He just put his shoulder in, heavy sidestep and over with the left, and he kicked a lovely point off his right from outside as well. Three in the first half.
We saw a bit of that this week, James, didn't we? The fearlessness. Shane Walsh taking on the Cork defence when he collects that ball from O'Sullivan. Ben O'Carroll did the same for a great point, his first point. And also Darryl Roach. So,
And Donald O'Sullivan when he came up for Kerry as well.
Is it a bit of fearlessness in the younger lads taking their chance?
I think it is, but
maybe
it's kicking the ball as well. Like, if you get a hand pass, realistically, there's going to be a couple of bodies around you because it's slow build-up. If you receive a kick pass, the first thing you're thinking is, right, catch it and go at him. And I think that the kick passing we saw into Darryl Roach, the kick passing we saw into Donal Sullivan late in that game, you know, it just encouraged you to take on your man. And then if you have the finish in you, it's a score. So I hope we see more of it, because at the moment, there's a lot of kind of team scores where you're working it to the edge and to the arc. You want to see that ball go in fast and the fella just drop the shoulder. And there's loads of fellas out there who can do it.
Yeah, see, hopefully.
Jacko was a bit frustrated, obviously, after the game. We've seen the reaction. Like, we all kind of tipped that Kerry would probably have a slowish start to the league. We expected that with the team they named as well. I was actually impressed with Kerry in the first half.
Were you?
To be fair to them. I thought they controlled the game quite well. And like I said, with a relatively inexperienced team, which had the likes of Thomas Sullivan or Paul Murphy kind of leading the charge. And Darryl Roach was quite good. Killian Spillane probably had a little bit of an off day in front of the post. Probably disappointed with that, because that's like a big opportunity for him to cement his place inside with Clifford. Look, it was tricky conditions as well. But just to touch on Donegal, we haven't really spoken about them. We weren't expecting much from them, and I'll admit that the off-season probably couldn't have went much worse for them. Losing Murphy, and they just couldn't get a manager. Like themselves and Ross Common, two of the last appointees with massive wins on the opening weekend. But for Donegal, without Murphy, you're looking going, no Ryan McHugh either. Who are the guys that are going to stand up? And you see Quayle McColgan, Darrell Boyle, what's the wing forward that plays with
McGrady
at DCU? Like these, some unbelievable scores. Like McColgan was phenomenal from wing back. 3 points. Jack says he got two, but look. We'll give him three. He's looking for a replay as well. But for Donegal, I just think that's a massive win for Paddy Carr and the team. He was very emotional after the game. You could see that. But for
kind of nice to see it, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was, yeah. Just you could see even the reaction of the crowd. We're talking about playing in an empty Crow Park. There's just no atmosphere. Like McBrady kicks that score in Ballybuffet yesterday. They get the block in the next play, and the whole stadium's on wheels. It's brilliant. It's what the National League is about. But for that Donegal team, that was just a big, big win for that group. It's not really in the grand scheme of things for Kerry. I wouldn't say they're overly arsed about it, to be brutally honest. We know they're going to come back stronger. But for Donegal, for Paddy Carr, for those young players, there was pressure on Donegal in that game. And for those guys to stand up, that's a positive thing. And for McBrearty, you know, he's got a decade of being Murphy's sidekick, really. Do you know what I mean? For him to stand up, it's quite enough outside of that game, really, for the majority of it. But that point at the end, and that was a brilliant story to wrap up the first weekend of the National League, and a big win for Donegal. And they said they'll need to get points together if they're going to avoid the drop. So a great start for Paddy Carr and them.
Yeah.
How many points stays up, do you reckon?
You need typically you have to get beyond five, don't you? You need 5 points still.
I'd say maybe
probably need three wins. So.
Six points.
Yeah, it'll be tight.
I think Monaghan will struggle. I still think Roscommon will struggle even with that win.
Kerry have horrible fixtures. Like Kerry won't go down, obviously, but well, I think they won't go down. But like they've Galway away, Mayo away. Yeah, but they've done it Galway, right? Mayo, Galway away. Their home games, they only have three home games: Monaghan, Roscommon, and Armagh. Do you know?
That could be the 6 points.
That could be their six. But I mean, their away games.
They're Armagh this weekend. They're playing Armagh this weekend in.
No, Monaghan.
No, play Monaghan.
Monaghan.
Yeah. Lads, another story that broke last week. It would have broken in time for the podcast, only I was away. Apologies again. David Moran retired. James, a fella you soldier with for years and years.
Yeah.
Did you see this coming?
I suppose we heard murmurings of it, but the fact he had such a great game for Rahalies in the All-Ireland Cup semi, I think we were all thinking he'd give it one more crack. But definitely a case of he's put so much time and effort into it, and he owes Kerry nothing, but he will be a monumental loss, not just on the field, in the dressing room. He was probably the most important fella in the dressing room, might have said, when I was there.
Really?
He set the tone of fun and work. Do you know that kind of way? Like, if you walked into the dressing room, there he'd be bellowing, laughing and cracking some joke. And then once it got serious, he'd be the most serious man, but also able to enjoy it and have the fun as well. And with all the younger fellas, he dragged the crack out of him. I just thought he was a brilliant man to have in the dressing room. But you know, when I was finishing up, say it was around COVID-y time, and we lost you lost the dressing room side of the game, because instead of having 38 fellas in the dressing room, we'd four dressing rooms of nine or whatever, you know, or nine or 10 fellas. So it lost the intensity of the dressing room culture. And like that was Moran's thing. And Danny and these fellas, they just ran that show.
It strikes me Moran kind of broke onto the scene around 08. Did he bridge the gap between that great Kerry team of the 2000s and then your team that breaks in maybe in the early 2010s? It's interesting that you say that.
I suppose he did.
He was obviously that link.
I actually read a great article. I think it was an article or it was just an excerpt, but it was Danny or Moran came on in 2008 against Cork, and Weeshie Fogarty did a piece about how he came on and Kerry were losing in the All-Ireland semi to Cork, and he just put his hand up over on the sideline and said, "Kick it out to me." Darren Murphy kicked it out at him, and he fetched it, and Kerry Gooch got a goal, and he was only, I say only would have been 19 or 20 at the time. It just showed kind of the personality he had to be able to walk onto an All-Ireland semi-final, put his hand up and say, "Drive it out to me, I'll catch it." So it was class.
But as well,
David as a player, he kicked the ball.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
We love kicking on this pod, but my God, any time he got the chance, he kicked it. And it showed his personality when he was kicking. I remember coming back from injury a couple of times. And, you know, you wouldn't be the sharpest. And David would launch a ball into him. And he had a few dodgy ones in the locker as well. He would kind of come, it would be kind of wobbly. And my eyes wouldn't be great as well. And I said, oh, fuck, which way is this coming? And next thing you'd hear, fuck's sake, germs. And, you know, he just made everyone play better and made everyone play the right way, I thought.
Yeah.
So he'll be, it's sad to see him go, but
he was a great player.
Great player.
The outside looking in, a really, really good guy. But yeah, top just a stylish player, you know, everything. Kerry's obviously very traditional football county, and I thought he epitomised all the good stuff about it. It was brilliant. I was sad to see him go. He was the same age as me. I remember playing against him. We were nippers many, many, many moons ago. And to see what he did throughout his career, some bad injuries as well.
Serious adversity.
It shows the personality of a guy. You always see the reactions of when a lad retires of his teammates, and kind of the stuff that you might see on social media or kind of tributes to him. He was a brilliant, brilliant player for Kerry. Brilliant player across the GAA. I think he's respected across the board. And from a dub looking in, you could just see he was pure class. So fair play to him. Great innings and a beautiful way for him to finish up winning All Ireland again. You know, he's obviously lost a lot of big games throughout his career, but to finish with a third All Ireland and go out in a high, fair play to him.
You know, great. Speaking of his injuries, he did the cruciate right in maybe 09 or 10, I think the
he's only 10, ish, yeah.
Came back, did it again within like a couple of weeks, if that. Then came back and detached his retina.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, the eye.
He must have been thinking, there's something not going right here. Something's going wrong. And he stuck at it and just got back to top form. Mental strength as well.
He'd gone to Australia the same time as Tommy Welch and came home 2 weeks later as well. I always wondered, being the son of Ogie, a legend, a gent in Kerry with 8 All-Ireland medals, did that ever weigh heavily on him?
No, it didn't. If anything, he embraced it. He had the. You could see how some fellas might buckle under that pressure, but he loved being part of that scene. And you know, he had the shoulder to carry. What's that?
Good scene by all accounts.
Very enjoyable scene, I'd say, for him. Yeah, but no, do you know when you just have the shoulders to carry it, and he did.
Yeah.
He definitely didn't shrink under it, and he thrived.
Okay, are we finishing with our predictions?
Let's go.
I need a good week. Okay, right.
James
last week.
Yeah, James is to make a bit of a comeback here. It's 5-5-2.
I went for a couple of outsiders because I thought it was a bit of fun. And then as soon as I pick a bad one, you start sharing it all over social media.
It was just how definitive you are on court. Yeah. That was, and the fact that you pretend that you've done some analysis as well.
He had his notebook.
Clearly utter bollocks.
Could still have a good year.
Hey, a Kerry man talking up.
If Cork win the Talton Cup, it'd be a good year.
So you had to win the All Ireland last week to relegate.
I never said win the All Ireland. Your team to watch was Kerry, and your players were McCaffrey and
Mannion. Okay, let's go. Okay, this is quick now. Last week it took about 10 minutes. We don't have time this week. Kerry Monaghan, Paddy.
Kerry for this one.
James.
Kerry.
Galway, Roscommon.
Galway.
Sorry, I'm going Kerry too. And it's in Pierce Stadium. I'm going Galway as well.
Yeah.
Tyrone Donegal.
Where is it?
It's in Healy Park in Omagh.
Tyrone
as well.
There's got to be some sort of kickback. Surely. They weren't that bad yesterday. They just tightened up a few things.
Donegal on paper though. I'm going Tyrone as well. Armagh Mayo in the Athletic Grounds.
That is tight. Armagh. O'Connor might start, will he? They might start Killian after his cameo.
Well, I could see the teams.
No, I'm going Armagh.
Who are you going with, Tom?
I'm going Armagh as well.
We can't all pick the same.
I need to claw one back, so I'm thinking of going.
I think Armagh will win the league.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, I'll go Mayo. I'll go Mayo. I don't think that'll be a high scoring match. I'll go Mayo.
No.
Okay. Division two, Meath Clare, Park Talton.
Meath.
Clare have a serious record against Meath.
It's got to be a bounce for me. I like
the record. The record goes both ways. Clare have a good recent record, but Meath at the Hexenham for a long time there under McEntee.
That's a big game. Like, whoever wins that, they're nearly safe. Really?
I think home advantage for Meath.
I think Meath will win that one. I was impressed with how they, three quarters of their game against Cork, I thought they were very good.
Ah, that Clare side.
They have a bit more nous. I hear you.
They do. They really do. That's a team that knows how to win football.
I'm actually backing Meath for once, and you're trying to talk me out.
Well, Clare bet them last summer as well. Bet them well. Harry Hogan.
Tommy doesn't know. Is he Meath or Clare, you see?
Yeah. He can't lose. Are you going?
It'll be the first draw predicted on this pile.
Ah, thank you. I'm going to go for a draw.
Jimmy, who are you going with?
I did three goals against Cork. If they kick 20 points, I'd be going Meath, but they didn't. I'm gonna go Clare.
Okay, so two.
I'm gonna go Clare. I think this. Yeah,
you're going who, Tommy? Meath.
I'm going Meath. Yeah.
Clare to win for Cork as well.
Clare Cork.
No, I need Cork. I need Clare to beat Meath for Cork.
Are you sticking with Cork? In Newbridge
against Clare.
In Newbridge.
No, I'm going Clare.
Paddy, I presume that's three Clares, is it?
There as well, yeah.
Okay. And finally,
where is Daniel Flynn?
I don't know.
I didn't see him.
I haven't got him on Snapchat maps. I don't know where he is.
I didn't see him on Saturday.
He's got ghost mode on.
Playing this weekend.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
No, Clare and Newbridge, they're hard bet there.
Yeah.
And last game, Limerick are up against Dublin at home.
Dublin. What about, who are Derry playing?
Derry are playing. What's say Derry? Derry playing Loud, sorry.
Derry and Dublin. Both.
Derry, Dublin for me. Okay.
So we haven't really been, there's not much difference between us.
No, similar.
Maybe you're back James. And Clare is different.
I reckon there's an accumulator in there.
Yeah.
You mean you're the same on everything, Tommy, are we?
We are, Paddy, yeah. I'm listening to you too much. I'd mind written down
for went against Mayo. So you back Mayo and Clare.
I went Clare and Mayo, yeah.
James needs a big week. So, lads. Pleasure as always. Great to be back chatting football with you. We will catch up next week. Have a good week. Anything major planned? No?
You're not going on any more holidays, are you?
No, I'm done now for the year.
Oh, but any major scandals break, you'll be away again.
I'll be here.
I'm going to Miami.
Oh, you are?
What are you James? What?
My brother's getting married, yeah. In Miami.
Tommy's getting married.
Yeah. Key West. Monday.
That'll be some crack.
When are you going?
I'm going Friday.
Get the fuck.
Savage. What
are you watching TG Carr YouTube on South Beach?
I'll get Kerry Radio and
Kerry Radio
watching on the beach.
Down at a pool party like.
Wow. I'll send you
Tim Minan.
I'll ring you on WhatsApp and send you a live stream of the games.
How long are you in Miami for?
10 days.
Sensational.
It will be nice.
How on earth are we doing the pod? Is Tommy getting married next Monday?
He's getting married Monday, yeah. Monday the 6th.
Have you a couple of duties? Are you involved in
another speech? Yeah,
a toast is all I'm allowed.
Okay,
prayer to faithful. That's it. That's all you're trusting.
I'm allowed to clink the glass and then I sit down. Then again,
all right. Okay.
When are we recording? If Jimmy's in,
we'll have to figure that out. We might do it from the altar on Monday.
I'm the only one who does any work in this part.
I know, Paddy. It's some difference from your first year of retirement 2 years ago when me and Andy couldn't get hold of you.
That's right,
that is it. Lads, talk to you soon. Thanks, James. Thanks, Paddy.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks, everyone listening at home. This is episode 3 of the Football Pod. We will see you next Monday.